We've been getting more faces up here, more people involved, and so we actually have an announcements team now that is kind of some of them stepping outside of their comfort zone a little bit and making some announcements, and I love that. Our music teams, who certainly do all they do, everything from our leadership team and finance and all the stuff that happens in child ministries, and it's just awesome, this team we have. And so I am the if you're new among us, I'm the pastor here. My name's Scott Linscott, actually. I am the president of the Society of People with Redundant Names. When I go away, I come back, and there's normally gifts in my office. Sometimes it was Batman, because I was Batman before I retired and had to hand that to somebody else. I don't have the dexterity of Batman that I once did. As a matter of fact, I kind of have a little bit of trauma right here, because it was Friday, and I was up here. I was trying to do the whole stream thing and get it figured out, and I think it might be still streaming, but that's giving me fits, and I was here, and I literally had come up here, and I was testing and listening in my hearing aids and going, Norris mic, 1, 2, 3. Norris mic, 1, 2, 3. Listening, because it's a 20-second delay, and I came, and I missed the first step. Which proves I am no longer Batman. I landed with my foot when I tried to figure out how to land. I landed about here with this foot, catapulted forward. I saw this coming at my face, and I thought two things. Okay, Jesus, here it come. And I also thought, poor Roland will find my body when he comes in the morning to set up. As though Robin wouldn't come looking for me after I'd been missing for a day. My first thought was, Roland, we might need some counseling. It was like, what? We've got a good friendship and everything, but come on. And so I land on both knees, do a shoulder roll, barrel roll like this, land on this shoulder, and laid there doing what we people who are over 50 do, taking inventory. Does that hurt? Okay, that's okay. This? You know, so I'm there, and I've got ice on my knees and everything, and Robin looks at my knees on Friday night, and she says, wow, that's swollen, because this one was, you know, almost two times the size of this one, and so that wasn't good. I said, I'll be fine. Tomorrow I'll be dancing. And so far, I've been doing okay. Got a little limp. And but that proves I'm not Batman. So I have a little bit of PTSD right now. A little scared of that. But people leave me gifts, and I love capybars, and I've said that. So one time, I got a capybara hat. I came back this time, and I found this in my office. Don't worry, be Cappy. Because I love these giant rodents that can be 150 pounds. They just love everybody. My friend looked at the poster, and she laughed, and she said, that's so funny. Don't worry, be crappy. I was like, wait, no, that's not what it is. It's don't worry, be happy. And so I always appreciate all the little trinkets and stuff you guys leave for me. It's always fun. And so we started talking last week about who do you think you are? Not who do you think you are, but who do you think that you are? And talking about who God says you are. And so for a quick review, we saw these three things. Only Jesus completes you, no matter what Jerry Maguire says. Only Jesus completes you. The second thing, we saw that we all have the need for a Savior. We have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we saw the third thing is that you are God's masterpiece. He sees you as his masterpiece. I gave you an illustration of that God has your picture in his wallet, because he's got an old school wallet with the picture thing that comes out of it. Maybe he's upgraded. I don't know. Now that opens a whole argument. iPhone, Android. I'm thinking Android. Yeah, I know you iPhone people are like, yeah, but the new one's coming out, and it's like so different, it's like yellow. I'm so sorry, you iPhone lovers. So we talked about that last week, and so today I want to talk to you guys and let you know, as a follow-up, who do you think you are, that God has given you an amazing title for the job you have. He's given you an amazing title. Let's look here at 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21. I always encourage you to follow along in the Bible if you want to grab one out of the rack. If you need one, please take it with you. But 2 Corinthians from the New Testament, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. That's the truth of what God says, even though we're still struggling with the old man, right? Even though we're still struggling with the new person, God sees us, with the old person, God sees us totally as the new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. And here's the title. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Now, it's interesting to me that this title that God gave us, ambassadors, he could have given us the title warrior. He could have, but that doesn't match up with the rest of what he was teaching. He could have given us, and I look around in the church today, in the Christian church today, and I think sometimes we've lost our job. We've lost our title. We've forgotten it, and we think that our job, we were going through some things of what could have been the word used there instead of ambassadors. Remember what an ambassador does? An ambassador wants to put the best foot forward, to represent his country, wants to speak those words that establish relationship, right? So he didn't say that God made us his warriors, that God made us his fighters, that God made us. Robin and I went through a bunch of them last night. We were trying to come up with other. Do you remember any of the other ones? Judges. He could have said, so God made us the judges, his judges, to go around saying, you, this is the way you don't cut it. Do you remember? Police. God made us his police. His morality police, certainly, that's our job. No, he didn't say, and you could go all the way on and keep listing some of these things that he could have said, but he didn't. He said, you are God, his ambassadors. So here's a few things that I want to talk about this morning. The first thing is, you were not elected by people, but were chosen by God. Some of you have heard me tell a story of when I was in fifth grade or sixth grade, I think it was, in middle school. Back then it was called junior high. It was Mr. Stevens. And Mr. Stevens was my science teacher. And he was the cool teacher. you know, the one who wasn't like the rest of the teachers. Mr. Stevens kind of, he let things slide. All the boys, we loved him. As a matter of fact, Mr. Stevens was so cool that he told us all to bring our baseball equipment to school. And at lunchtime, we could take the time that was left if we finished our lunch quickly, and we could go down to the baseball field and play baseball. No, like soft, squishy ball, rug ball, or any of that. We're talking real men stuff, young men. Let's take a baseball to the nose, because we're manly men. And so he would play with real equipment. We had real equipment. And so we would pack our lunches in brown paper bags, and we would go into the cafeteria like this. We'd eat on the way there, and Mr. Stevens was like with us. He's like, yeah, they're fine. Other teachers are like, they need to wait until they're in the cafeteria. And Mr. Stevens like, yeah, I got it. And so we would eat our lunch on the way to the cafeteria, walk in, throw those bags in the trash, and head immediately out the back door of the cafeteria to go down to the field. Well, we'd get there, and the normal thing was we would do the lineup, and the two captains who were our, you know, these boys, Rick and Bobby, were two, like, man, they were good. Everybody wanted to be Rick and Bobby. And so these two guys would stand up front, and they would pick us one by one. Remember that lineup? Yeah, take him. And then Bobby would say, yeah, I'll take him. I'll take him. I was grateful and never really noticed much who was last picked, because I was like always in the top third. And so I would go and not really pay attention. But I remember the one boy who would come out every day with his plastic glove. Didn't even have a real glove. He'd come out with his plastic glove. He had a trucker hat, you know, with the mesh. And he'd stand there, and he'd wait to be picked. And we'd go through, they'd go through all the boys, pick, 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 and come to the last kid, and wouldn't even give him the dignity of picking him, of saying his name. And so he'd be last every single time. And he would just kind of follow whoever's team it was to have the last pick and go off, and we'd go down and play baseball. Well, it came to the end of the year. And Mr. Stevens had with him another male teacher. And he said, hey, we're going to switch it up today. End of the year, switch it up today. We're going to, I don't remember the guy's name, me and Mr. So-and-so. We're going to pick the teams today. And I remember how excited we were, because whoever they picked first, whether it was Rick or Bobby, would decide who was the best player, who was the top, who was the most valuable. And I remember Mr. Stevens has first pick, and we're all looking like, who's he going to pick? And he calls the name of the kid who's always picked last. Kid wasn't even paying attention. He had to call his name again. He said, what? You. I want you on my team. That kid beamed. Just beamed. Came walking over toward Mr. Stevens. And then the other teacher picked the other kid who was normally at the bottom. And Mr. Stevens said, okay, you guys, these are our captains today. These are our captains. And these two boys picked one by one, and picked mostly their friends and others who were good to them, and not Ricky and Bob at all. They were like, this is not about that. And that's always stuck with me, that Mr. Stevens chose the one who felt, who was told he had the least value, who was told over and over again, you're no good. Mr. Stevens chose him. Well, in Scripture, there's this truth that you were not elected by people, but chosen by God. In John 15, verses 16 through 19, it says this: "You didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name." And then it goes on, "This is my command, love each other." Wait, I appointed you to go. And then he says, "This is my command, love each other." Okay, so Jesus is saying it again. If the world hates you, remember that it hated me first. Now, sometimes we Christians take that and take pride in making people hate us. I always find that interesting. This is not license to be a jerk. It's not license to be a jerk. It's saying that the world has a different system, and they will look at you and see you differently because you live differently. And yes, some in that system will hate you, maybe even mock you, not speak kindly about you. Okay, so then it goes on, "The world would love you as one of its own if you belong to it, but you are no longer part of the world." Remember? I'm making you a new person. "I chose you. I chose you to come out of the world. So it hates you." Now remember, did everybody hate Jesus? Well, we wouldn't have a book about him if everyone hated him, right? It wouldn't have made a difference at all. As a matter of fact, he was killed. He was put on the cross because of the following that he got. Because so many, even remember a few months ago talking about Nicodemus, one of the Jewish leaders coming to him at night, he was making everybody with this gospel of his, with this love he was preaching, he was attracting a huge following. And now today, 2.6 billion Christians on planet Earth. Clearly, everyone hating you is not a badge of honor. There should be some people who are loving you because you love. There should be some people because you're an ambassador who put up with you. So it's not license. Here's the thing. I want you to either write this down, put it someplace. When God selects you, it doesn't matter who rejects you. When God selects you, it doesn't matter who rejects you. Okay? Let's go on. The second thing, you never represent yourself. You always represent God. Here we look in Philippians, verse 27. "Above all, you must live as citizens of heaven." Above all, first priority, above all. Above all, keep the main thing the main thing. And we know, as we've heard Greg say over and over again from Alistair Begg and others, that the main thing is the plain thing, and the plain thing is the main thing. Keep your focus on what we are called to do above all. Above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourself in a manner worthy of the good news about Jesus Christ. Then, it goes on, "then whether I come and see you again or only hear about you, I will know that you are standing together with one spirit, one purpose, fighting together for the faith," which is the good news. Okay. Fighting together for the faith? Fighting? That's a trigger word. Fighting? What do you mean there? The last election, whether either side happened to use the word fight, "we will fight together." The other side immediately quoted and said they're leading with violence and wanting to have an overthrow and destroy the government and destroy our entire system. Because that word, fighting, became this thing that only meant violence. So in reading this, I look and I think, wait. I love the New Living Translation, but I frequently test it against other transitions to see how they will word things. Is Paul telling us to take up arms here? And I'm thinking, does that fit with the rest of what Scripture teaches us? What Jesus teaches us? And so for me, I need to, when I see something like that, that makes me question and evaluate it based on all of the trigger words and what was happening in the last election, I have to look and see, all right, I got to look deeper. I want you to check out this resource that is amazingly now at our fingertips 24/7. Take a pic, make a contact in Google, in your Google address book. As Bible study tools. Put this address, BibleGateway.com. It's available to you at any time you want to find it. So when I look, I say, I want to know what the other translations say. I used to, you know what pastors used to be? You used to walk into their office, and it was like walking into a library because they had all of their books around them because that's all we had to study. And so you'd go and say, okay, what do other translations say? Well, wait a minute, I have a parallel edition here that has four editions, and I also have these six copies of the Bible here in other translations, and you would thumb through and look for everything, and you would compare and say, what does the Greek say in this case? What is the meaning? And you would go through all that, and now you're just like, BibleGateway.com. Philippians 1:27. And then at the bottom, underneath the verse, there's this thing that says, read full chapter. Always find it in context. What's it saying? This verse in Philippians 1:27, where it's telling us to stand together and to fight together, that full context of that verse, Paul is talking about how his love for us and how we love each other and how our love might abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight so that we might be able to discern what is right. And so the whole context of this, the chapter doesn't meet up with fight. It doesn't. So I look and I say, all right, the one under that, notice it says Philippians 1:27 in all English translations. That text there, I don't need for you to read. It's too tiny, right? It's too tiny. You can't read that. I mean, it's like King James, American Standard, Amplified. And it goes on with some of these I've never even heard of. And it's three pages of all the English translations. So I take this verse and I look at it and I say, how do other translations use this fighting together? What do they say? The King James says, striving together, the New King James. The New American Standard Bible says, striving together. The NIV says, striving together. So yes, we're fighting together by striving together like a football team and another football team. They shouldn't. I mean, when they have the fight breakout, the announcers go crazy and people get thrown out, right? But you are engaged in the fight, okay? You're engaged in the fight, but you're not sticking swords in each other, okay? It's striving together. Strive together. Now, there's a danger here. There's a danger here in looking at all the translations because you can cherry pick and find the translation that matches how you feel about the issue, that most closely matches. Like if I wanted to get everybody fighting and say, let's march, let's take this place by storm, and we're not going to give up, I'm going to read to you Philippians 1:27. It says, standing together, fighting. fighting together. Let's go. And everybody's going to go, yeah, let's get them. Where's our torches? Okay, I could cherry pick that verse and say, I'm going to use this. But instead, what I want to do is I want to be careful not to cherry pick to find the verse that most agrees with me. But I want to find what the scripture says my viewpoint should be. Let the scripture mold me, not me mold the scripture. So we have to ask, are we using scripture to prove our point, or are we using scripture to shape what our point should be? There's been so much within the church recently that I'll look and they'll use verses from verses that were meant for the Hebrew children that were in a war, the children of Israel in a war against an attacking country. And they'll take that and they'll say, see, God tells us this to do this. And I say, wait a minute. Is this a verse for all of us? Or is this a verse for this context at this time? It's important that we know that and not cherry pick. Right? The third thing, you have authority from the one who sent you. What? You have authority from the one who sent you. Look at this in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 8. I may seem to be boasting too much about the authority given by the Lord, Paul says. But our authority builds you up. It doesn't tear you down. In the context of ambassadors for Christ, ambassadors of Christ with a message of reconciliation being our title, and having the authority of our King who is sending us as ambassadors, we need to go about our job in what he has commanded, or the way he said do it. This doesn't mean that I can just speak like I speak for God. It doesn't mean I can just grab and cherry pick verses and say, this is what God says, and so we should do this and we should do that. Here's an example. You ever think of this? Job. Think of Job for a minute. Think of all that he went through. Do you know that if his friends had gathered around him and gathered around and built a hedge of protection around him and prayed off that terrible stuff and did all this and were like binded it and they did all that, they would have been going against God's plan. What? So instead we pray, Lord, in your will in this situation, we pray for relief. I pray sometimes and I'll say, God, I'm praying selfishly, not knowing your full plan here, but here's what I want. Last week before we started practicing, Todd suddenly is sitting down going, oh, he's got a migraine that has hit. Just a migraine. I'm like, oh, I know those. And so I said to everybody, hey, how about we just stop and pray right now? And I prayed. I said, Lord, your plan is in charge here, but I pray selfishly. I pray, this is what I want. I want you to just heal Todd now and take away this migraine. We have things we want to do this morning. But Lord, it's in your hands. But Lord, I ask that you heal and take this migraine away. Todd said to me after church, he said, wow, that was the fastest a migraine has ever gone away from me. It's like, God, I pray you are in charge. I am your ambassador. I speak with authority for you. Here's the desire I have, but Lord, your plan first. Maybe it would have been Todd wasn't playing that morning and somebody was coming in and we said, oh, Bill's walking in and said, hey, Bill, guess what? You're drafted. Get up there. It's an emergency. And Bill would have gone, no, I don't know the music. So what? We don't care. Get out. Come on. play some music for us. We'll sing along. And it'll be like, play us a song, you're the piano man. Whatever it was, I don't know what the plan was, but I asked. And God said, okay. So you have authority from the one who sent you. But our authority builds you up, it doesn't tear you down. So I will not be ashamed of using my authority. See this gotquestions.org? That is another great resource to put in your Bible study tools when you have questions. I will warn you, if you just Google the question, you're going to get every wingnut answer that is out there. And you just say, oh, I'm going to take the top answer. Wait, you need to know the sources that we're taking it from. Well, what is their perspective? What are they believe? A lot of times when I just Google things, the first ones that come up are the Jehovah Witnesses. And I'll look and go, I'm not reading that because they don't believe that Christ was God. They don't believe in the Trinity. They don't believe that. There's a bunch of other stuff they don't agree. So I'm not going to read that first Google hit. I need to find something reliable. This gotquestions.org is one of those. So you're not elected by people, but chosen by God. You never represent yourself. You always represent God. You have authority from the one who sent you to do what he told you to do. Your authority is not the authority to make your demands. Remember, what he said for us to do is reconcile. We are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. Through us. We have authority to execute the mission. What is the mission? Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father. See, authority in our world is often abused. It's used to subjugate people. It's used, and I wish I could tell you the history of Christianity didn't have people misusing what they thought was the authority of God to do things that look nothing like God. I wish I could tell you that. When people say to me, what about this? What about that? I say, you know, I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that. But I wish you would evaluate Jesus on Jesus and not on those who claim to be his followers. Go to the source. You know the song, Onward Christian Soldiers? It's a hymn, Onward Christian Soldiers, fighting as to war. Marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. And I remember being a little kid, onward Christian soldiers, marching as to war. And nobody ever stressed with me the meaning of that hymn. That hymn is Christian soldiers standing firm, waging battle against Satan. Not other people. Not fighting other people. Read the song. Read the lyrics. It's a powerful song, but I grew up believing that, well, we're getting a military together, and we're going to march, and we're going to take, and we're going to do this. No, God says we're ambassadors. So while our music team comes up, I just want to remind you that you are not elected by people. You were chosen. It's like God lined you up, picked you. He picked you. And you never represent yourself. You always represent God. And you have authority from the one who sent you to be his ambassador. So no matter who you think you are, the truth of God is that you are an ambassador for him, whose job it is to represent him. What a cool title on your business card. Hey, what do you do for work? Well, I'm an ambassador for the most powerful king ever. 2.6 billion people in our network. It's global, a lot of hospitals, ships, schools. I mean, it's just exploding. It's just huge. That person next to you in the airplane is going to go, that's not Amway. That's not, you know, that's not multi-level marketing. None of them are that. What are you talking about? I'm talking about the Church of Jesus. I'm an ambassador. Whew. Pretty cool. Lord, as we go out today as your ambassadors, might we remember that you don't leave us alone in that role. Lord, that you give us words to speak. Father, that you give us a clear mission, which is to love and reconcile, to bring people into that relationship with you, that they might have hope, that they might not live in fear, that they could have that full and abundant life. Father, I thank you for what your word tells us we are, children of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week, guys.